A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter approached him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." And he replied, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then the devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their magnificence. And he said to him, "All of these I shall give you if you will prostrate yourself down here and worship me." And then Jesus said in reply, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. If we had plenty of homiletic time, that first reading from Genesis needs some homiletic attention. And so does St. Paul's letter in our second reading. But the gospel has a powerful teaching in it, and I'd like to claim these few moments of homily to reflect on the teaching of the gospel. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert. Desert may not be the best word. I think wilderness is more accurate. The Greek word is eremos. And for those of you who have been pilgrims, you may remember stopping at the Mount of Temptation near Jericho. And you see the wilderness. It's a wilderness. It's not like the Sahara Desert. It's just an empty, it's a place of aloneness. It's a place of reflection. It's a place where your demons come back to get you. That's the wilderness. And Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is recorded in three Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it would not fit the Gospel of John, since John emphasizes Jesus' divinity and therefore the testing or even the baptism. John refers to the baptism of Jesus, but he does not narrate anything about the event of the baptism. In order to understand the teaching of the testing of Jesus, we need to put the baptism and the testing of Jesus together. In all three Gospels, the baptism happens, and then immediately after that comes the testing. And the baptism, the powerful statement of the baptism is, Jesus enters into the waters of the Jordan with sinners. He begins his public declaration of his life and his ministry among sinners, and his whole ministry thereafter will be directed toward hospitality for sinners. So Jesus enters into the waters of the Jordan among sinners. And now comes the real teaching when you put the baptism of Jesus and the testing of Jesus together, there are two voices. The first voice is the voice of God. When Jesus emerges from the waters, the voice of God speaks to him, "This is my beloved Son." Now that will come up again later on in the Gospels, but for this sacred moment, here is where divinity and humanity meet. And the place where divinity and humanity meet is a holy place, affirmed by the voice coming from the heavens saying, "You are my beloved Son among sinners." Now, Henry Nouwen has a beautiful book on this called The Inner Voice of Love, if you'd like to reflect more on the teaching of the baptism. Since he affirms in his book that, in fact, the voice that comes from the heavens speaks not just to Jesus, but for all those who are in the Jordan with him, saying, "You are my beloved people, you are my beloved son, and you are my beloved daughter." That's the first voice. And the second voice is the voice of the world. And Jesus is led into the desert, the Eremos, the wilderness, to be tested by the devil. And in this case, the voice of the world says, "Prove yourself, convince me, qualify, impress me, show me your record so that I will be convinced of your goodness." That's the voice of the world. It's the voice of the devil. It says, "Do something spectacular, then I'll believe. Show me a miracle, otherwise I will not believe. Demonstrate to me that you're worthy so that I can welcome you. I can be convinced of who you are. You have shown me your worthiness." That's the voice of the world. And it comes after Jesus has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Clearly, that's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant to reflect way back the book of Deuteronomy, where the people of Israel wandered for 40 years in the desert. And they were tested in the desert. And so now comes, before they would affirm the primacy of God in their lives, they were tested. And now comes the voice of the world saying, "Prove yourself, demonstrate, show me you're worthy." It's a contrast, it's a tension between these two voices. One voice saying, "You're a beloved person, you are in the image of God. You are holy, you are gifted, and you are anointed, and you are chosen from the beginning." Now the world says, "You're good because you do good things." But the kingdom says, "You're first of all good. And it's out of your goodness that you do the good things." The good things are the result of the inner goodness that's within you. These are the two voices that are in contrast here. And Jesus responds to the first voice, "You are my beloved Son." And if you follow the ministry of Jesus, you will find that over and over again, he will affirm sinners. But the voice of the world says different. The voice of the world says you must qualify. And it may well be that the voice of the world not infrequently appears in the church. You must qualify. You must be worthy. Otherwise, there isn't a place for you in the kingdom. That's the voice of the world. It's the voice of the devil in the testing of Jesus. And Jesus clearly dismisses that voice. So in the church, Tell me, which voice do you hear? The strength of the church, we are one holy Catholic church. We are one church. The strength of the unity of the church is not in uniformity. It's in diversity and our sense of unity. In the church, we have people who are scandalized and doubtful because of the clerical abuse. We have people who are questioning some significant dogmas in the life of the church. We have women who are struggling to emerge in the life of the church and to claim a rightful place of leadership in the church. A diversity of voices. We have pro-choice and pro-life people in the church. We don't like to say that, but we do. We have a diversity in the church. What else do we have that's diverse? We have LGBT plus Q plus people in the church. They're on the margins. Is there a voice that says, you must prove yourself, you must change, you must satisfy me, you must meet these norms? Is that the voice we hear? Or do we hear, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter? Which voice do you follow in your life? Do you hear the voice of Jesus among sinners saying, each and every one of you is a beloved son and daughter? Or do you hear a voice saying, you must qualify, you must demonstrate, you must merit, you must agree with everything? Which voice is leading us? Which voice creates community, a sense of unity, not uniformity? Where is the strength in the life of the church? We grow in diversity. Even though we're desperately imperfect, and Jesus will say to his disciples who were desperately imperfect, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Go forth and speak to the world about the imperfect person who is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. This is the voice. And this is why you cannot understand the testing of Jesus unless you understand first, put it together with the baptism of Jesus and listen to the voices which are spoken. We have people in the church who differ on climate change. We have people in the church who agree or disagree on the death penalty, a critical issue in our society, in a civilized society. We have people that differ on many, many important issues. And yet, which voice do we hear? Is there a place for people who are different, unique, special? In the Jordan, made up of all sorts of sinners, we know not who, but it's clear in the Gospels, in all three Gospels, that it was a very diverse group who shared with Jesus in the baptism in the Jordan. What does this mean to us as a church? What does it mean to us as a family? What does it mean to us as a community? We marginalize people, or do they all belong? Now, when you put the baptism of Jesus together with the testing of Jesus, and the testing of Jesus comes after he has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It says he was hungry, which is not meant to be taken literally. means he was vulnerable. He was alone. He was in darkness. And he heard the voice saying, "You don't qualify." And yet, the voice of the baptism says, "You are transformed and you are converted by love, not by fear." Conversion happens when you're included, when you're loved. We grow when we're loved. When we don't have love, we are less. Think about this. In the church, is there a place in which we can hear the voice of God saying, "You're unique, you're special, you're broken, you're struggling, you're questioning, you're wondering, but you are beloved"? It's a powerful statement. And it appears in all three Gospels here. And if you follow Jesus' ministry as he goes through his public life, you will see that you are transformed by love. You are deformed by the absence of love. Something that is purely legalistic is deforming. Something that is kind and gracious and inclusive and loving is transforming. Watch how Jesus will walk through his life, and he will struggle only with those who have the voices that say, "Prove yourself." The Pharisees, the legalistic ones. But for those who are not worthy, and for those who want to be transformed by love, Jesus welcomes. This must mean something to us as a church. It must mean something to us in our families. How to anoint somebody in their humanity. A person that doesn't please us, doesn't meet our expectations. Person who disappoints us. The one who criticizes us, judges us. Is there a place in the church, in your family, among your friends, in your community? Not a place of judgment, but a place of love. Amen.